the record. And our hearing today is on Senate Bill 146A. And if our staff could tell us what this bill would accomplish, we'll then move into taking some testimony.
Madam Chair, yesterday our office distributed a copy of the bill along with a staff measure summary, and I have extra copies of the staff measure summary. But Senate Bill 146A establishes and specifies membership of a newly formed mental health council, and I believe it gets or abolishes a similar kind of group, which is the Mental Health Advisory Board. So it's substituting a council with a particular kind of composition, people appointed by the governor, for the Mental Health Advisory Board. I see that Madeline Olson from the department is here, and she indicated that she wanted to testify. I don't see Aaron Kelly Seal from the governor's office, however.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Can I make a comment?
Certainly.
If somebody's listening, it's kind of hot in here. Are you hot?
Not right now, but
we might
maybe later.
Just wondering if the air wasn't turned on or something.
Thank Ms. you. Ms. Olson, would you like to come forward and share some information with us? Thank you.
Thank you, Madeline.
You can call down and see if Aaron is there. Please go forward.
Good afternoon, Chair Gordley, members of the committee. I'm Madeline Olson, the Assistant Administrator of the Office of Mental Health and Addiction Services, and the department supports Senate Bill 146A engrossed. As staff have indicated, this bill creates a governor's-appointed mental health council. It terminates the former statutorily defined Mental Health Advisory Board. It also allows the department to terminate an additional Mental Health Planning and Management Advisory Council. It will vest the mental health responsibilities of these two advisory groups into the newly formed Mental Health Council. There are three aspects of the bill that we find particularly appealing. By elevating the appointment of the representatives to the newly formed council to the gubernatorial level, it will elevate the awareness and the importance of services to children and to adults with mental illnesses. Merging the two former advisory groups allows the department to reduce staff time and expenses in supporting both former bodies, and the council will assist in developing a vision for the future of mental health services to Oregon residents. Again, the department supports this bill and looks forward to engaging our stakeholders in assuring an efficient and effective public mental health system for Oregon.
Is there a fiscal impact?
Madam Chair, in looking at the fiscal file, the fiscal impact file, there was a non-fiscal back in January. Since its amendment, it received a hall pass, so when it was referred down here from one of the Senate committees on health care, I believe. So that has not yet been determined.
All right. Ms. Olson, did you participate in drafting the language for the bill?
Chair Gordley, yes, I did.
I wanted to ask specifically about the language on page 2, line 7, G, three members representing cultural minorities. If you could talk to us about, a couple of things. How that number was arrived at, three, and then what is meant by cultural minorities. Is that a reference to racial and ethnic populations. Is that the meaning, intended meaning? And again, how the number three was arrived at.
Chair Gordley, yes, the intended meaning of that phrase is racial and ethnic minorities. And as we worked internally and with members of the former council, we were particularly interested in sort of the three major ethnic minority groups in Oregon: African Americans, Latinos, and Native Americans. And we value that kind of representation enough that we wanted to call out specifics in the bill as opposed to assuming through other representatives we could also make that representation possible. This way people don't have to necessarily wear two hats.
What about Asian populations?
Well, that with the limiting factor of three, I mean, that it, you've pointed out an issue.
Yes, it is an issue, and I'm noting it as an issue and something that will need to be addressed. The other thing that strikes me about the makeup of the council is that I don't see a direct reference to a member or members who would possess expertise in cultural competence or providing culturally competent responsive services. Was that a discussion that took place as well in terms of what this overall membership might look like and have and including that kind of expertise and representation?
Chair Gordley, it's a discussion that we have ongoing and constantly, and so while it's not spelled out in the language in the bill, the assumption I think we operated under in trying to keep the size of the committee reasonable is that that would be a key component of membership, is an understanding of those issues and progress if you're a provider representative in towards delivering culturally relevant and competent services.
Again, I would argue that, that component, if it is valued in the way that you say that it is, and I understand clearly that you value it, it does need to be spelled out in the language in the bill.
Can I have a question?
Representative Smith.
Did I count right, or does this create a 40-member board? Does somebody know?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, I believe as we've counted it, it's 25.
I counted some things twice.
The Planning and Management Advisory Council that will be replaced by this is a 50-member board. And
a 50?
50, and that's been problematic in terms of getting quorums and real solid membership, and that was one of the things we worked on as we drafted this legislation, was to meet some federal requirements and at the same time have a group that can be really functional.
Even at 25, it's going to be hard, but I can understand why we want this representation, you know. And how did this idea develop to do this?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, I'm thinking about that.
Okay, I was just curious. I mean, were we looking at efficiencies in government, or did we decide that we could more successfully address mental health issues? Or
I think this came out of initially concerns raised, would have been 3 years ago now, by the former governor's mental health alignment work group that felt there wasn't the level of attention and visibility to mental health issues and the kind of focus on it. And a number of people involved in that process believed that by elevating it to a gubernatorial appointment, you would have people that take the issues very seriously, and presumably there would be a fair bit of competition for these limited number of places on the council. And I think there's an opportunity in conjunction with the changes in the mental health statutes for this body to really drive the direction of the mental health system over the next several years.
Did you wish to question further, Representative?
No, thank you very much.
Representative Bates.
Yes, Madam Chair. I'm not going to argue that the systems we use for applying mental health here in the state is rather chaotic. We've spent a great deal of time work group this session at night and during the day looking at those mental health care systems. And it is chaotic. It is disorganized. Some counties do an exceptional job. Some counties are struggling. And that's sort of what's happening up on the ground. My question really evolves around who is represented in the health council. Did a lot of thought go into that? I mean, some of these seem rather strange. Both the superintendent of Oregon Health State Hospital as well as superintendent of Eastern Oregon Psychiatric Center. And I don't see much here as far as mental health organizations are concerned. I don't see anything about ethnic minorities that's been spoken to. I don't see the people who are actually doing the work, for the most part, on the health council. I have this question with, you know, what all is going on here as far as how the selections were made. And this is just my first brief look at it. You only have two mental health providers, two community mental health providers, or program providers. It seems heavy in the bureaucracy.
Yes.
Extremely heavy in the bureaucracy from the department. It just seems like a strange mix. And there may be a lot of thought that went into it that I'm not understanding, but I really don't understand how this group's going to get together and resolve any issues, to be blunt.
Madam Chair, Representative Bates, part of the composition of the membership is trying to balance some federal demands for certain kinds of agencies that are involved in the mental health system generally through the needs of their core set of responsibilities, as well as the stakeholders that are more standard and recognized in Oregon. So those agencies that you see represented, for example, the vocational agency, that comes right out of federal language, and it was part of our attempt to create some efficiency and not just add yet one more advisory group and also maintain our need under the Federal Center for Mental Health Services block grant, which defines the need for a state-level planning council and also defines agency membership.
It would be very helpful if you could share with us exactly what membership the federal agency demands, so that we're clear on what that list looks like versus what else you have in the bill, and then what else we may want to recommend that needs to be added.
Madam Chair, I could do that in one of two ways. I could read it into the record right now, or I could have copies made and provided to staff who could provide them to you, whichever you would prefer.
Let's do both. And would that be helpful to you, Representative Bates?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay. It's the requirements are in 914C of the Public Health Services Act, and they are as follows. Representatives of certain principal state agencies, mental health, education, vocational rehabilitation, criminal justice, housing, and social services, as well as those involved in the development of the plan submitted pursuant to Title 19 of the Social Security Act. Other public and private entities concerned with the need, planning, operation, funding, and use of mental health services and related support services. adults with serious mental illness who are receiving, parenthetically, or who have received mental health services, family members of such adults, and children with serious emotional disturbances, and finally, representatives of organizations of individuals with mental illness and their families and community groups advocating on their behalf. Specifically, the law stipulates that not less than 50% of the members of the Planning Council shall be individuals who are not state employees or providers of mental health services. The law also requires that the ratio of parents of children with serious emotional disturbance to other members of the council is sufficient to provide adequate representation of such children.
Would you restate the 50% part of the statement?
Yes. Specifically, the law stipulates that not less than 50% of the members of the Planning Council shall be individuals who are not state employees or providers of mental health services.
Representative Bates?
I'll read through it carefully when I have a chance to digest it.
All right.
Okay. We'll provide copies.
Thank you. Further questions?
Are we limited to the number of people on this board?
No, we made a suggestion about membership, but
okay.
And that's what the bill represents.
I guess it doesn't matter. Whatever, suppose who we think we need on it, is that what you're thinking?
Let me back up. When you say that you made suggestions about membership, are you saying you made those suggestions to the governor's office or?
Chair Gordley, I wasn't as clear as I needed to be. As we looked at the federal statutes, our experience with the previous 50-person council and what we saw as critical things we needed to try and accomplish over the next 10 years, we walked that line between inclusion and the balance of those required federal agency, you know, the federal requirements for state agencies, the 50% requirement and size, and this was our best shot at it, was this 25-person body. The way we've envisioned this working is this would be a high-level group that would appoint very specific, focused subgroups with a lot of additional membership to take on a certain study area. Let's say, for example, the most intensive services for children and adolescents, then you would focus your membership of that group on parents, providers, child welfare, public education. They would work under the auspices of the council, probably meet much more frequently than the council, and prepare a set of recommendations for the council's review and further refinement. That way, we felt you could get a lot accomplished by changing the focus of your sub-work groups to really include the people key to an issue, or if it was a criminal justice mental health interface, you'd have an entirely different set of players. Yet you would have a higher-powered group that would guide that direction, link back in to the policy making, the legislation that might be needed as a result of studies like that, the budgeting process, and so forth.
Do we have anyone else signed up to testify?
Madam Chair, I had contacted Erin Kelly Steele of the Governor's Office, and I don't see her here at this point.
Okay. Are there any further questions or? I think then that we will just recess and we'll revisit the bill at another time. And I would just ask staff to take note of the comments that members of the committee made with reference to membership on the council. And could you recap for me what you have in your notes, just to make sure we're on the same page?
Sure. Senator Gordley, I have kind of comments as we went through. You made some comments about or questioned about the three members for our cultural minorities. You asked about cultural competency and how that is explicitly put forth in this bill. And while it's an assumption that the folks in here are familiar with cultural competency, you made it a point to say, well, maybe there could be something explicit included in the bill stating that. Representative Smith essentially asked, what problem are we trying to solve? At least that's what I jotted down on my notes. The response was, we're trying to increase the visibility of mental health issues by having the governor appointing members to this new body, keep it on the radar screen. Representative Bates noted that the composition seemed pretty heavily bureaucratic, and how will this group get together and really solve problems? Ms. Olson commented that a good bit of this membership is required by federal law, and Madam Chair, you asked her about the positions relating to the federal requirements, and Madeline read something into the record, and then she's going to give us something to written material. And I noted here previously 50 people are on the existing mental health advisory board, right?
Excuse me, it's the Planning and Management Advisory Council. There were two bodies, the Mental Health Advisory Board, which was in statute, and then this federal council.
And this one would have 25 voting members under Senate Bill 146.
If there are no other comments, I'll close the hearing on Senate Bill 146A. And we are adjourned.
Okay.
And thank you.